Good afternoon, friends. This is Carolyn Evers. I'm just delighted to be with you today. We've got so much to talk about, but before we get into our usual business, I want to tell you about something that happened today. I have a daughter that lives in Florida, and she called me and she said, "Mom, did you hear about the earthquake down here?" She said it woke us up. And of course, she got into the question of, did it have anything to do with the recent drilling of oil in the Gulf of Mexico, because that's where this tremor apparently originated. And so I was very curious about it, naturally. And so I went to the cherubim and asked if there was some connection to the earthquake in the Gulf and the oil drilling that has taken place. I only have about two paragraphs here, so I'm going to read it to you the way they gave it to me. We open the book of earth records. This book is different from other books, which hold soul records. This book would appear to look like a cavern in the earth itself, and for this reading, we enter this realm, and we say to you that the drilling was very deep indeed, and there were disturbances made in the layers of rock at those deep depths. These were the rocks that act as an underlayment to the plate system itself. So we say that this is nothing new, in the sense that drilling deep within the earth does make for changes in the plate system itself and the rocks that uphold the plates. So we would say to you that you can expect more of this activity in the Gulf of Mexico and especially near Florida shores. Well, I found that intriguing. Not that I doubted what they said, but being a curious person that I am, I like to do research. And so I did a search on what might be on the internet with regards to the earthquake itself. And MSNBC said that this was a 6.0 earthquake that hit today, and that it sent shockwaves through an area from Louisiana to southwest Florida. No damage was reported, and this is from the U.S. Geological Survey. Mentioned that the earthquake centered about 260 miles southwest of Tampa, too small to trigger a tsunami or dangerous waves, but the USGS received almost 1,600 reports from people who felt this was almost 11 o'clock tremor, Eastern Standard Time. And I found this interesting. This is a fairly unique event. There is no danger, said Don Blakerman, an analyst with the National Earthquake Information Center, who said the quake was unusually strong. I would expect any substantial damage, but it is possible. He says he wouldn't expect any substantial damage, but it is possible that there will be some minor damage. So Jeb Bush, the governor, called the State Emergency Operations Center with reports of the tremors, and it said that the epicenter is an unusual location for earthquake activity. But scientists recorded a magnitude of 5.2 tremor in the same location on February 10th. So here we have an area where there's not usually earthquake activity. There was a 5.2 in the same area on February 10th, and here we are today, there is a 6-point quake. And Blakeman said, this kind of occurrence is unusual in that spot, especially for an earthquake of this size. Now, we're going to tie in a couple things here, which I found interesting. And I looked further, and in the San Diego paper, there was an article. Now, this article is dated March 14th. And this came out of Veracruz in Mexico, and it talks about President Vicente Fox climbed aboard a drilling platform in the Gulf of Mexico on Tuesday to formally announce a new deep well oil discovery that he said would eventually yield 10 billion barrels of crude oil. And they drilled to a depth of a little over 3,000 feet below the water, and eventually they are seeking to drop that depth down to over 13,000 feet, which when you convert that to miles, that's almost 2.5 miles. And I'm just going across this article because to see if there was anything else that was important here that I needed to talk about other than the date. And this was what I found of interest. This announcement out of Mexico was on March the 14th, and here we've got this location in Florida, an unusual place to have quakes. They had a tremor on February 10th. The article doesn't tell us how long it was before this March 14th announcement that the oil company was actually drilling in that area, but I sort of thought that that was something that was, it seemed to me to be significant. So I started doing some, my curiosity was even greater then because I was curious about the actual makeup. How deep is the crust? Found that there is a difference in the continental crust and the oceanic crust, which I really didn't realize that, but the oceanic crust is somewhere between 4 to 7 miles deep, where the continental crust is a lot thicker. So I didn't realize there is a difference in composition in the crust underneath the ocean as compared to the crust on top of the earth. And I found something kind of interesting. The material in the oceanic crust consists the greater part of a theolitic basalt. It's dark, fine, and gritty volcanic structure. It is formed out of very liquid lava, which cools off quickly. The grains are so small that they are only visible under a microscope. So, a couple things here. Something that I found that I didn't realize before, that the actual construction of the crust underneath of the ocean is indeed very different than the crust land, and the construction of it, the actual construction of the particles is different. Also, I looked at the plates themselves. You know, the internet is so wonderful. There's so much information that you can find if you care to search. And there was a map of the boundaries of the plate systems. And the map that I found was showing that the Gulf of Mexico and Florida is on the same plate. And then I thought this of interest. The question was, which influence does the crust have? The crust itself has no influence on the Earth, but the constant moving of the crust does. This moving is caused by an influence of the convection current, or to be more precise, this convection current actually causes the earth plates to move and sometimes touch one another. And then it talked about how this evolves earthquakes and so forth. I just wanted to discuss this a little bit because I feel like this is really a story in the making. And we're having a show that we're going to be doing soon that is called Healing Gaia. And this is going to be a topic that we're going to be covering more. And we're going to have people who actually channel Gaia. and see if she can give us a message herself about this particular digging of a well in the off of the Florida shore. I gave you what the cherubim told me in a reading, and so I think this is something here that we really want to follow. So that being said, I kind of would like to touch base a little bit on something that we talked about last week. And for those of you who are out there listening to my voice, if you have a question, want to call in about something that might be in your record, please give us a call. We'd be glad to check in with the angels and find out what we can get for you. A lot to talk about, actually. If you weren't with us last week, we were discussing the higher mind and how to connect with it and actually what it was. And there were a lot of definitions that we found that had to do with the higher mind, but something that came in one of the readings I really do like, because I like things when they're simple, when they don't get so complicated. And what one of the readings said was they compared the higher mind to a gateway. And this gateway is, you might say, the doorway or the opening to all of the information that you have ever accumulated through experience. And your call to this gateway or to the higher mind, if it's placed in the correct modality, you have access to all this information. That, to me, is such an empowering thought. When you think about, if you believe in past lifetimes, and I certainly do because I remember a lot of mine, so for me, this is a sure thing. But if you just think about all the places that you've been from the beginning, over the millions and billions of years that since you have been created, all of these experiences and the wisdom that you've gathered, and all that you are is there waiting and available to you at that gateway. I mean, to me, this is just an overwhelming thought that we can have access to this. We don't consciously remember it. And so, according to the reading, if we use the correct modality, it's ours. So, I asked, well, what's the correct modality? Naturally. And they told me three things. And the first, they talked about a soul's willingness to follow spiritual promptings without changing your integrity. Integrity, basically something that you believe in and that you think is right. Spiritual promptings, where do these come from? Sometimes they're within, sometimes they're without. Sometimes they're messages that we have received from friends or things that we have read, or the gut feeling that we have inside that we just know that is right. And they explain this a little bit more. We simply mean that you must have truth and wisdom in your mental process and understand your spiritual responsibilities. And my gosh, today, sometimes that's a hard word for people to accept, responsibility. So we're prompted by spirit. We stick to our integrity. We must have truth and wisdom in our mental process and understand our spiritual responsibilities. And so this is the first requirement. This is what puts us on that first level to reach all that information that's beyond the gateway. Then number two. With this comes a certain determination to live according to the edict that was given by our Creator at your creation. And for those who maybe are not aware of this, we've discussed this before. This is something so beautiful and simple. When the souls were created, when our Creator brought forth us from nothingness, there was a command. And that command was to go and experience. To go and experience all there is to experience and come back to Source after you have experienced all of this, and to help all those along the way who need your support and help. Almost like the golden rule, put in different words. And so that was item two. This was the second requirement. Then the third requirement to reach that gateway, to get the gold ring or the brass ring, so to say, all of that information and experience that we've ever accumulated. And that is the third. And it says, the most active ingredient to move this information from the vastness of space to your brain is the emotion of love and appreciation. Now, I think that sounds like a simple thing, but I think I want to explain that a little, because people will say, and they have said to me, I do love. I do appreciate. I appreciate everything that I have. I do love all around me. But that's not exactly what these words mean. There is a difference between mentally saying, I love you, mentally saying, I appreciate everything that you've done, and you might even use these words. I have used them. But there is a difference between that and actually feeling that, actually experiencing that. You might say, well, what does that emotion feel like? There is a definite feeling. You know, it's hard to explain what an emotion feels like. But there is a CD that you can get where you actually can experience it. Tom Kenyon, someone who I respect very much, I respect his work, he did a workshop where he called in all of the masters by name, and it's called the Gardanva Experience. If this is of interest to you, to really feel what love and appreciation is, get the CD. Go to Tom's website, tomkenyon.com, and get the CD. If you listen to that, you really feel it, because there was a large group at this workshop where everyone in the group participated in this, and you feel the love. And the first half of the CD, he explains how the masters will not come when called unless there is this feeling of love. And you just feel the vibration, and this is what you need to feel to open that gateway to all you know, to all you are, to have all of your questions answered. And it is an incredible experience. The first time I experienced this was not with Tom. I was in Lourdes, and I had gone there because we had a group, and I went to Mass there, and the crowd was large. I couldn't find a seat where I could actually see the service, see the people who were singing, and I was stuck in this little corner. All I saw was this little wall, but because my mind was not taking in any of this sensory activity, I was feeling with my heart the singing. Couldn't understand what they were saying. The people were singing in French, but the emotion that was carried on their voices from their heart was so impressive. I just sat there and I felt this great love, and the tears just came down my face. And I just sat there, and after a while, I contacted my higher mind. That doorway opened, and it was like any question that I had, I could find the answer. And so many times, at moments like this, you think, gee, I wish I had all these questions written down so I'd have them ready. But it was like my whole life was before me, and I went into this stream of information. And when I came out of it, I couldn't remember it all. And so if you ever have an experience like this, or you're sitting down to work with something like this, I would suggest that you formulate in your mind the questions that you want. And if possible, as you're going through this experience, put it down on a tape recorder, because what happens then, you're in an altered state. It's like you're in an altered state when you dream. You know, you go off to sleep and you have this gorgeous dream and you just are loving it. And you wake up and you can't remember the details. You might have some general idea, but as the days wear on, you've completely forgotten it. And that is how it is to a certain extent. When you actually wake up your higher mind, it is this emotion, and it gets this attention to the doorway, but you are in an altered state, and you soon forget it. So just a few thoughts there. You know how they say about writing down your dreams? Well, it's the same thing when you connect it to your higher mind. It is a good idea to write that down. Now, along the same vein, one of the questions that I asked is, what is mission? And I ask that because I hear this so often from individuals. What is my mission? And they gave a good description of it. This is the plan that you made by your soul at its very highest organizational status, and that agreement of you as an ego in this physical body. So what that means is that very higher level of your soul, the individual, the ego that you are in this physical body when you came to Earth, you had a plan. You agreed. You agreed to something. You agreed to do something. But when you come down into this dense world of particles and gases, you forget. Now, the second sentence of that is, your very highest organizational status can bring into form those experiences to see that you complete your agreement. And just contemplate that for a second. You made an agreement with the very highest part of your soul. You came down here as an individual. And so you made this agreement, and the highest part of your soul has the power to bring into your daily life the opportunities so that you could fulfill those agreements. So paying a little bit of attention to those memories that you have forgotten, and to try to bring them to your conscious thinking mind, is of the utmost importance to you for many reasons, because once you start realizing and understanding and accepting the fact that you are here for a mission, the mission might be just to do your own healing. It might be to help another group. It might be to help many. It might be to work with the planet. It might be to work with ascension. It might be that you are representing people from other planets who are trying to influence Earth towards their own advancement. one of those, somewhere along that, is a description of you, of me. The very highest, highest of goals that we might have, this highest part of the integrity of what we are, we came here to exercise. And not only did we come, but once we start cooperating with this higher part of our soul, they will then, because we're cooperating, bring the events into our lives, the people, the opportunities, the connections, the wherewithal to complete our agreement. No one is here to frustrate what we are to do. We might have some interference, but the highest part of what we are and the light that we are does not want to see us be frustrated in our commitment. So it's a beautiful story, my friends, a beautiful, beautiful story. And hopefully today you can give a little thought to that. What I'm going to talk about now is some information that I've gotten from the readings, and the information that comes through is so incredibly beautiful and vast, and to me it seems complete. We've talked a lot in the past about the creation of souls and the manner in which they were created, the jobs that they were given, so to speak. And it wasn't just that they were given jobs. They were given the abilities, the wherewithal, created in this, with the sacred geometry and the sounds, but most of all, the intent of the Creator. It is those things that plant these abilities within our soul and also helps us find that desire to fulfill these missions that were planted deep within our soul. So we've discussed that. And we're going to go a little further and talk about perhaps some things that we don't understand. And some questions that I get from people is family. It could be, you know, family can be the source of some of the greatest joy or some of the greatest heartache, especially when we don't understand the whys and the wherefores and people acting in certain ways, and we become doubtful of our own integrity when we are being treated in ways that we don't feel respect. And so I saw this among many people even before I started doing readings, and it becomes interesting when you start to realize that we've had so many connections. We understand this. You know, when you meet somebody, you meet them for the first time, and you really like them, there just seems to be a rapport between the two of you. You can be pretty much assured this isn't the first time you've met that soul. And conversely speaking, there are people, you meet them the first time, and for whatever reason, they seem like they're nice enough people, but it just doesn't click between the two of you. You rub each other the wrong way. Well, you can probably be relatively certain that wasn't the first time you've met that soul either. And sometimes when there have been things in the past where people need to learn, where they have lessons that they have to fulfill, we come in agreement and gather in a family. What more complete and compelling way would people be forced to work with one another if they weren't living in the same household? So they come to the same household. They're born in the same family. They grow up together, and they might have grave lessons that they might have to complete, or they might come because they're had such loving experiences with one another that this is their support system this time because they have other jobs that they need to do. And so there were a group of individuals who were in a family, and it was like the family was divided down the middle. Some on one side were the black sheep, if there's such a thing. It was a good descriptive way to discuss this. And some on the other side, they were the rest of the family. And the black sheep couldn't understand why the rest of the family didn't think they were so great and willing to accept them. And there were lessons. There were lessons. Oh, my. There were lessons. Lessons from past lifetimes. And sometimes the angels say, you came, you were a gift to them. You were a gift. They needed your help and assistance. And out of love, you came to help them. You've had other lifetimes with them. And sometimes these things happen because some of the members were not always working in the light, but worked sometimes with the dark. And something that I find so fascinating is that the readings bring forth information about the differences in the dark. And I've spoken a lot about readings, and for those of you who might be new and haven't heard of this before and really don't know what we're talking about, we're really talking about reading the Akashic Records that are on the universal level, that the cherubim who are right beneath Source, that they guard and protect, you might say. And that information, and actually there's a wonderful newsletter that you can sign up for and some great articles, and that is at www.akashic-reading.com. And they break the description of the dark into several levels. And one level is a group of souls that are diametrically opposed to Source. And they will do anything to destroy or some way those souls that are on the path of light. They will do anything that they can to distract them. We're not really talking about that group. Maybe there'll be other times that we're talking about that group, but there is some dark that is hidden. For instance, there are many beings inside the planet that are dark. The planet inside the planet is dark. And so these beings are working with the systems inside the planet to make certain that they are working in the fashion that they are supposed to work. You know, that's an interesting concept, but why not? There's life everywhere. You can take a drop of water and put it under a microscope, and there's all kinds of life. We can look into an area in the sky which seems like there's nothing there but gases, the nurseries of the stars, and yet that is columns of hydrogen that is forming life. And by the way, very interesting, the angels tell us that even there, they are overseeing, watching over these columns of hydrogen and directing them to form stars. That's fascinating. So there seems to be life everywhere. So why not inside the Earth? And so this is some of the dark that is hidden. And then there is the interaction between the two ends of polarity. You know, they talk about yin and yang, negative and positive, the two creative thrusts that are needed to form life. And that is something that we don't always understand, that there have been souls who have played on both sides of the fence, so to speak. These are not opposed to source. These are more self-serving instead of serving others, but in that diametric dance between the two, there was information that has been discovered through this. And the angels talk about this tapestry, and they describe this beautiful tapestry that each soul has a thread, and there are dark threads and light threads and gold threads and silver threads, and that we weave this picture into this tapestry of life. And without the shadow and the light, there could be no picture. It's like a negative. You've got the dark and the light and a negative that is making a picture. Without either one, there would be no picture. There would be there would be no value to it. Value in the sense of color and form and density. And so we've all played the light and the dark. And in family units, there have been members that have taken the part of the light, that have taken the part of the dark, and now it is time for those who have taken the time searching and getting experience in the dark to now be moving towards the light. And so we have these groups coming together where maybe they have played in the playground of the dark, and some have advanced faster than others. They've had the experience in the light, and now they have volunteered to come back to that same group in a family. And so sometimes the black sheep of the family are those ones who are trying to bring love and forgiveness to the family, and the family, other family members might not accept that, or the role could be reversed. And so we see these very deep lessons in living together in a family. And so what do we make of all of this? Well, I think one of the things that is very important is family relationships. It's so emotional. We expect things from family members that we wouldn't perhaps expect from a stranger on the street or a neighbor on the street, because they're your family. They're supposed to see life through your eyes and supposed to accept what you do. And if they don't, there is many times great pain there. And there was a reason that you came together, and it was, even though it might not seem like this was a learning process, it really was. And so people have asked for readings about their situation in the family. Why is it like that? What can I learn from it? What do I need to do to change this? And sometimes information is given that is very helpful and constructive as to how they can change the relationship with the family. And sometimes they're told basically what past lifetime this came from and that their responsibility is expunged. It has come to the end. And so there is a great liberating force here to know that what the ideas are behind these situations. And we're starting to see a lot of this right now. We are starting to see movement. There is a division. There is becoming set up a line where people of like thinking are gathering together, whether it is those who are connected to the light or those who are connected to the dark. So we're seeing more and more family members moving, some closer together and some moving apart from one another. And so if this is happening to you, do not feel that you have failed. It could be just that this experience that you came here to follow and to fulfill has finished with that group of souls. And another point to think about, everyone really is from somewhere, some part of a soul family or a connecting link. We're all brothers and sisters here, and so if it's not working in your own family, you can do things to fulfill your life. So that has been an interesting theme that has occurred in a lot of family readings, and I wanted you to know about that because what happens so many times, families are so emotional that if it doesn't work, they blame themselves. Instead of looking for other answers and to thinking outside the box, people blame themselves. And this happens a lot of times. And it's not a good idea because guilt, pain, fear, this is not how we're going to move on to the next higher dimension. We must feel our self-worth because we are truly worthy. God loves all of us. We are all a part of God. And I have seen that when my son stood with me and opened the records and I saw the souls created. It was incredibly beautiful how these sparkling lights were sent forth from source, and I heard the sound of creation, and I saw the colors, and I saw the souls being formed. It was magnificent. This is what we all are, and it is beautiful and good, as each and every one of us are truly part of the kingdom of God. And so you wonder, if all this is true, why in the world do people feel so guilty? Why do we feel unworthy? And I found something very fascinating because an individual had asked for a reading, and they were, I guess the best way to say is, they were taking drugs, didn't feel worthy, and they felt lost. And the words that came was, "No one fails." I think it's hard for us to understand that. No one really fails. We've come, we faced choices. Sometimes we made choices that didn't further our learning experience. We were here. This is what we were called to do, to experience. And sometimes in experience, what is experience other than making choices? And sometimes in learning and growing, we make the wrong choice. And we learn from that. But in that situation, sometimes souls do not forgive themselves and they punish themselves in some behavior that is not loving. And so this reading was so beautiful because it was here that they were talking about the tapestry that hangs in the Hall of Records. This is the tapestry of all of our experiences. And when we go to the other side, we can view this. And it talked about threads of darker value, lighter values, and we talked about the golden and the silver. And every thread is needed to create this tapestry. And as we said earlier, if all the threads were light, there'd be no picture, no detail, and no refinement in the picture. So they explained this a little further. When we are here on this earth, we have a mission. We might not remember the mission. And we might not even accomplish it because we've had a lot of interference. And then we go to the other side. We pass to the other side. Our life has ended. And what's on the other side? Love and light. And we review our lifetimes. And we see in our record where we didn't make the best use of our opportunities. And now we're viewing that from a different perspective. We're not viewing it from the perspective of all of the interference that we've had from negative forces. We are viewing it from the experience of the love and light that's on the other side. And our guardian angel is there with us, trying to help us understand that maybe our opinions that we had of that lifetime was too harsh. We weren't looking at that in the way that spirit looks at it. And time and time again, this information comes out in the records that what we're doing here is gathering experience. And in that experience, we fail sometimes. We go to the other side. We're too harsh on ourselves. And we bring back that memory. It's a subconscious memory that we haven't succeeded and there is something that we are unhappy about ourselves. And this we're told many times also, that if we have three life experiences that are the same, it becomes embedded in the soul. If we had three lifetimes of addiction, that would be very difficult to clear. If we had three lifetimes of following our path along the light, how beautiful that would be. It would be glorious because each challenge would be so much easier. So much of what we're going through today has a great bearing on what we did before we came here. Doesn't seem fair, does it? But that's how it's working. But we have input from spirit to help us understand. I know I have been times going back and forth from this realm to the next realm where I have been too harsh on myself and have come back feeling that I needed to do more, I should do more. And this is a failing, actually, because everything is perfect. And I will read this sentence because I think this is beautiful. Understand that every soul created, and that includes yours, is perfect. Would the Creator create anything that was imperfect? So we say to you that the Creator has not created distortion. The Creator has only created perfection. Energies on the different planes have not always been understood by the Creator gods for that location in the cosmos, but it does not mean that the souls themselves were created in error. Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
Do you hear me okay?
I can hear you.
Hi. Do you think you could give me some advice on protection?
Advice on what?
Protection.
Oh, protection.
Spiritual protection.
You know, I think that's something that a lot of people think about. But tell me, why? What has anything happened in your life that you think that you're not protected?
Yes. Family issues with angry family members.
Now, when you say protection in that respect, family members, do you mean that a family member might become violent? Or do you mean protection of feelings?
Lack of disappointment and anger, and sometimes they feel that they want to invade my body on a daily basis, actually, to throw off my energy. Break my sense of self, to try to control me.
Okay, we're getting down to that control issue, and that seems to be a flavor, so to speak, of the dark. They want to dominate and control, and so that is your situation. I gather from what you're saying that this is a situation where you feel that you must stay there for reasons of obligation.
Okay, I'm going to turn up the volume on my end. I'm having a hard time here.
Oh, now, you're in a situation where you're being controlled.
Oh. Okay, I'm back.
Now, do you have to stay in that situation?
No. I don't live with this person. The person,
oh,
generally, when they're at rest, so to say, or either dozing off or... And this person is, I would say, somewhat mentally ill, and then there's deterioration.
Okay, so this is not really a physical situation, but more a spiritual or etheric situation where you're being interfered with on an etheric level. Is that your question?
It's not a question, really. It's I'm trying to really explain how it works.
Okay.
I'm just very, very sensitive, and the sensitive people are generally pretty open to anyone who's like a psychic vampire, like this person who is with me. This person's very angry at me, and they can't get me off of their mind. This happens to be a family member, and their issue is, well, if I can't get to this person, since I don't live with them, and the person doesn't talk to me and contact with me, when they go to sleep, that angry energy propels
them. I hear you. Yeah, I understand it. And I'm not trying to cut you short on that, except we're coming up to the hour where we have to end this conversation.
Okay, dear.
But let me say real quick about a couple things. Not meaning to rush you, and if you want to discuss this more, you could send me an email and I'll discuss it, or go on the blog and we can discuss it, but very quickly, only because we're coming up to the hour.
Okay,
when you know about light, you know about surrounding yourself in light, don't you?
All right, because I've tried so many different things and they haven't been successful. I'm using
a radio.
You
know about calling on Archangel Michael, don't you?
Yes, I've tried working with that, too, and I initially felt his energy come in when I first called on him. And I know he comes and goes, but...
Ask him to send his angels. You see, calling on him is marvelous. And, yes, call him whenever you're in danger, but he will also send angels to you to protect you if you ask. You must
ask. Right, and we're going to have to...
And stay with you.
We're going to have to continue this at another time, because... I thought I went through those steps, and that's why I'm calling further.
Well, we have a couple more steps. I'll tell you what. Ask that question on the blog. We now have a blog for each show, and I'll get into it deeper with you. It's difficult now, like I said, because we're right up to the hour. But yes, I do have some other ideas, and we'll be glad to give them to you.
Okay. Thanks so much for your time.
And what is your first name?
Gordon.
Gordon, just want to know that, so if you send me a message on the show information, that I know that you're the one that I was talking to today. Thank you, Gordon.
Thanks so much for your time, dude.
Oh, my pleasure.
Enjoy your day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
And
bye.
My friends, we have to go. We're at the end of the hour, and I'm just delighted to have been here with you today. And so until the next time. This is Carolyn Evers signing out, sending my love to all of you.